Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Another beautiful fall morning. This is your host, Sergio Fassa, with Feet to the Fire. So now, saying woke, that's racist. That's now in the news. And it's absurd. A lot of this conversation right now is happening as a backlash, like I said yesterday, to the fact that Republicans, conservatives, and Christians are saying, how are we racist when we supported Winsome Sears, who's black, for lieutenant governor in Virginia? And the reply has been, nope, that's not enough. Just supporting a black candidate doesn't absolve you of any guilt. You're still racist. In fact, you're even more racist because a conservative black is just a mouthpiece for white privilege. How demeaning and degrading. And so now when you challenge wokeness and all of the ideas of critical race theory, also known as CRT, and social justice, and all of that cultural Marxism, when you challenge that and call it wokeness, that's racist now. You're not allowed to use that term either. So you're muzzled unless you agree with the left. And that's the thing. They don't even care about ethnicity or skin color, ultimately. Because you can support blacks, you can support justice in our laws and true civil rights according to the Constitution. You can even be black, and yet you don't qualify as truly enlightened or just or righteous in the eyes of the left because you have not adopted their ideology. They're not pro-women or pro-blacks or pro-minorities. They're pro their ideology, their ideologues. And so, as I said yesterday, the only way to actually ingratiate yourself with the left, which who wants to, but I'm saying the only way to appease them or to be acceptable is to adopt their ideology, the primary iteration of which right now in the culture is anti-property, anti-capitalism, anti-Christian law, Christian ethics. You need to become a socialist. And then they will say you're absolved. By the way, did you hear about Aaron Rodgers? Green Bay Packers quarterback sat out on Sunday's game this past week against the Kansas City Chiefs because of COVID protocols. This is from SI.com, maybe Sports Illustrated, I'm not sure. And so no one's really sure why he sat out, but he's getting excoriated in the media because apparently back in August he had implied he got vaccinated. Now it seems like because he's sitting out, may have tested positive, that he hasn't been vaccinated. So was he fully truthful? And everybody's angry about the fact that Aaron Rodgers might not be vaccinated. Look at this policing, control, top-down control attitude, this cancel culture. If you don't fall in line with the left, you can't play football. Even when you're an MVP, an NFL star, one of the greatest legendary quarterbacks, you are still refuse in the eyes of the culture and the media to be chewed up and spit out. Thankfully, this is good news. State Farm, who used him as in their ad campaigns, has decided not to cancel Aaron Rodgers, which is great. They said, we encourage vaccinations, but respect everyone's right to make a choice based on their personal circumstances. Good job, State Farm. NBC had this headline, Aaron Rodgers' vaccine refusal put his teammates in the Green Bay Packers season at risk. They're so upset. I just can't take it. It's so childish and effeminate and wussy. Listen to that headline. Aaron Rodgers' vaccine refusal put his teammates in the Green Bay Packers season at risk. I feel like it's a nanny or some millennial college student wagging the finger and nagging and complaining. I guess it's called a Karen in social media. This is what the left does. They police everybody with their little demands that you fall in line and think and act cookie cutter like them, like a little lemming walking off the cliff. By the way, possible recount. Well, looming in New Jersey. I don't believe Jack Cittirelli has conceded yet in the gubernatorial race. Good for him. There's still outstanding votes to be counted. Last I checked, I'm not sure if that changed. I don't think so. And if it's close enough, there may be a recount. But don't put your hopes up, because this is a deep blue state, and I don't think Murphy, who's already claimed victory, is going to step out of that governor's office whatsoever. However, good news is Steve Sweeney, Senate Democrat Majority Leader in the New Jersey State Legislature, finally conceded loss to the truck driver, which is excellent. Back to our discussion of property from yesterday, I want to finish up with San Francisco. This from the Washington Examiner. Now, I told you yesterday, San Francisco has out-of-control burglary and theft. And so the San Francisco Chronicle, or one of their newspapers, I think, tweeted out, well, maybe we just got to get used to burglaries and live locked up behind barred and gated houses. And that is a picture of what happens when you dissolve private property and when you remove Christian ethics and Christian law and Christian restraints. And I've been making this point all week, and hopefully it's not redundant, is that particular to liberty and Christian law is the sanctity of private property. So let's see what happens when you take that away in San Francisco. And my point in saying this is, when you take away these Christian guardrails that restrain evil and allow one citizen to live in his own life and property unmolested by another citizen, that's what law does, that's what property rights do, is they allow human flourishing, human liberty, because you can't be wrongly assaulted by your neighbor who steals or kills or molests you, because your neighbor will be prosecuted. So law restrains evil and protects you so you can live vibrantly in lawful liberty. It's called the civil society, ordered liberty. Here's what happens when you take that away. San Francisco. The website, San Francisco's self-inflicted organized retail crime problem isn't going away. So they have a retail crime problem. It's been self-inflicted. Walgreens is closing 5 more San Francisco locations. Is that good for the poor? Is that good for entry-level jobs, employees, workers who need entry-level jobs to make money and get into the job force and get into the market and start learning basic skills and advancing in their careers? Is that good for people who may be at Walgreens permanently and that's their employment, that's their job, that's their way of making money? Is that good that for anybody that Walgreens is closing? See, economic recession and contraction and depressing the economy is never good for anybody. But oh, the Democrats are the party for the poor. No, they're the party for destroying the economy and equalizing everyone downward in poverty and misery. So Walgreens now, because of Democrat policy, is closing 5 more San Francisco locations as the impact of California law and city leadership have led to what another pharmacy chain described as, quote, one of the epicenters of organized retail crime. Walgreens previously told the city's Board of Supervisors that it had closed 17 stores in the city. Look at that. 17, I guess you're adding 5 more on top of that, almost 2 dozen stores. In announcing the shuttering of 5 more, Walgreens spokesman Phil Caruso said, organized retail crime continues to be a challenge facing retailers across San Francisco, and we are not immune to that. So there's an organized crime epidemic in San Francisco. Why? Let's find out why. According to California law, theft of less than $950 in goods is considered a nonviolent misdemeanor. So there it is. There's a law in California where if you steal just shy of a grand, it's just a nonviolent misdemeanor. Because property rights don't matter. Well, here's what happens. People start living in misery. Property is stolen. Companies leave. People lose jobs. The economy plummets downward, and then there is no more liberty and no more vibrant living under lawful liberty where people can live free and prosperous, because they're confined to the misery of lawlessness that destroys life and property. Now, stealing less than $950 can still carry a maximum of 6 months in prison. Oh, that's great. 6 months, even though you're stealing nearly $1,000 of merchandise. But that would require cases to be prosecuted. You'd have to prosecute the criminals to actually get them in behind bars for 6 months. And San Francisco's district attorney is still Chesa Boudin, I don't know how to say it, whose soft-on-crime worldview stems from his terrorist parents' incarceration. So the son of terrorists is the attorney general in San Francisco, and his attitude is always defer to the perpetrator, always decide in favor of the perpetrator, not the victim, which is a perversion of justice. Boudin is not very interested in prosecuting crimes in San Francisco. Obviously, that includes shoplifting. Prosecutions for theft of less than $150 have fallen under Boudin from 70% to just 44% in 2020. San Francisco has become the land of repeat offenders. People and businesses frequently see the same people who assaulted them or robbed their stores back on the streets again. They see the same people back on the streets committing the same crimes again. No kidding. This is lawlessness. They saw significant increases in burglaries, arson, motor vehicle theft, and shootings in 2020. But this is what I'm telling you. Dissolve the law, overturn property rights and the sanctity of property, and you get chaos, moral chaos. But Boudin is more concerned about sympathizing with criminals than he is about protecting victims. And there you go. That is an inadequate worldview. With the rise of the so-called Soros prosecutors, this has become commonplace in cities throughout the country. Wow. So this is happening everywhere. Philly, LA, Chicago, St. Louis, among others, have elected far-left district attorneys backed by Democrat megadonor George Soros, who wants to put Democrats in charge of criminal justice systems in all major American cities. And what that means, by the way, off the article again, when you have Democrats in charge of criminal justice systems, that will always mean one thing: ruling in favor of the perp and denying justice to the victim, which, as I said, is a perversion of justice. If residents of these cities want to avoid meeting their assailants on the street a week after their arrest, how absurd. They must either choose to replace officials such as Boudin or find somewhere else to live. That's why people are leaving blue areas. No one's forcing residents of San Fran to elect Boudin, but as long as they keep doing it, the problems will keep happening. So true, and this from Just the News, it looks like San Francisco DA Chesa Boudin will be facing a recall election. So that's actually some good news. This is what happens, and this is the way the rest of the world and the rest of civilizations live, where there is no boundaries, because the foundational principles that we see put in practice in America that created, as I said, human flourishing and ordered liberty, such as the protection of life and property, which the founders kept emphasizing, in the rest of the world, those things are never put in place, or they're overturned, or they're abolished, especially in Marxist systems, and you see moral chaos and human misery. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. The promise of the left for utopianism and equity and all these nice fluffy terms they use on the surface, it's all a scam and a lie. Their view is lawlessness that leads to the enslavement of a society under its own sin and its final collapse.